Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 322. Today, Simon asks, I notice you assign copyright to the podcasts to both yourself and your company. Does that mean that one or the other can give permission for the rights to be used, or would it mean both have to give permission? What's the reasoning behind doing so? Good question, Simon. Well, the copyright to the podcast is owned by the company. The copyright to the content is owned by me. We use company resources to produce the podcast. The company pays for the website on which the podcast is distributed. Company hours go into distributing the content and maintaining the feed and all sorts of stuff like that. The company, therefore, owns the podcast. I own the content, and this is partly because I don't want to be an employee of the company where my intellectual property is concerned. Let me break this down a little bit. If my creation of this podcast was done on company time, like I was getting paid a salary for the time I spend doing this in terms of the recording and whatnot, then the company would basically be entitled to claim copyright over all the content. I'd be producing it on company time. It would be sort of like a Disney animator producing drawings for Disney. Yes, they still get credited for their work, but Disney owns the designs, the drawings, everything they do. In this case, these shows serve a couple of purposes other than just existing for themselves, which is what they started out as. They also serve as a development platform for my writer's educational materials. And we've spun two books out of this already. There's going to be at least three more when I get around to them in my copious free time. And then, you know, as long as this cast keeps going on, it'll keep spinning out books and materials that we can repurpose and use in other medium and for other reasons. And I own that stuff. The company has no claim on it. I choose to publish it through the company because it's my company. But I could just as easily turn around and sell those publishing rights to Random House if I wanted to. And if they made me the right offer, I might do that. So the way copyright works is every step in the production chain has a copyright duty associated with it. So in coming up with and creating this stuff, I own the words I'm speaking. And I also own my performance. However, the company owns the equipment I'm recording this onto, so they own the recording. I, as an individual, am licensing my performance and my words to the company so that they can commercially exploit the recording by podcasting it and having a Patreon for it. That Patreon generates revenue for the company, not much, but it generates revenue for the company, which helps justify the fact that I love doing this and it's become a wonderful feature of my life. And the company could then, if it decided to commercially exploit these in other fashions, like we could sell all the 5 minutes and smaller ones as segments to BBC Radio as a daily show like Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story or something, if we wanted to, and if the opportunity arose. Or it could bundle big swaths of the NanoCast together or theme big swaths of the NanoCast together and release them as audiobooks on their own, or could release them, as I have with the first couple hundred episodes, on YouTube with ad support and that sort of thing. So that's the division between what the company owns and I own. So if you wanted, say, for example, to license these podcasts from me to use in an educational setting, ignoring the fact that the podcast is licensed under a non-commercial no derivatives license, so you could use it in an educational setting anyway without paying. Let's say you wanted to pay because you wanted to repackage it. So you wanted to take a bunch of podcasts from Writing Excuses and maybe some stuff from I Should Be Writing or the Author Strong podcast or some of the other good writing podcasts out there. And you wanted to bundle together sets of these on themes and sell them on Audible or broadcast them on satellite radio or something like that. You would come to me as the CEO of my company, and you would say, we would like to do this licensing deal. And I would say, okay, I have the authority to do this licensing deal, because I do. And you would sign that with the company. The company and I have a contract that authorizes the company to do this and to kick back to me royalties if this ever happens. Without that contract, it would have to be a trilateral agreement between you and the company and me. If you wanted to transcribe the podcast or quote the podcast in a textbook or something, then you would come to me, the individual. And me, the individual, would license you the right to use my words or would write you a version of a podcast that's formatted and cleaned up of all the ums and ahs so that it reads well in text. And that would be published as an article. That would be an agreement with me, not with the company, because the company has no say in that end of things. Now, why would I do this? Why would I create this complicated Byzantine structure? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One of them is that in the unlikely event that the company gets in legal trouble or incurs a significant amount of debt that it can't pay off through honest means, not fraudulent means, because with fraudulent means, they pierce the corporate veil and it doesn't matter. Or if the company were to get acquired, someone were to come to me and say, I want to acquire the company, then me, the creator, doesn't want the company taking my copyrights. I'm happy for the company to own a license for stuff I've done. I'm happy for the company to have generated its own copyrights. And I'm happy for the company to have the copyrights I have sold it. But the company is a separate legal person, and I don't want it owning my copyrights when there's not a good reason for it to own my copyrights. So if Disney were to come to me tomorrow and buy the company, they would essentially be buying the audiobook catalog. The audiobook catalog is owned by the company, and the company also owns publishing rights to several of my books that on term-limited contracts that expire and renew every so often. So Disney would come in and say, I want to buy your company. What do I get? I say, well, you get the audiobooks and you get the publishing contracts, which have these terms. And then they would make me an offer based on a complicated formula of what they think they can make off that content minus a significant percentage and what they think I'll take. And that's what they'll offer me. And if they get that, they don't get my copyrights. They just get the copyrights owned by the company. And since I am planning for success, I've set my corporate structure up from the beginning so that we will be acquirable under terms that I will not find to be burdensome to my future career post-acquisition. That's basically the rationale. Very, very good question. and you've got a bunch more here, too. So we'll be hearing more from you in the near future. Thank you for writing in, Simon. I really appreciate it. And I will see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc., and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.